Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screening baby sticky seats with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you from the Earwolf Studios in Los Angeles on Thursday, December 15th, to Ocean's 11. Cyrus is at the wheel on today's show. Matt Belknap is on vacation and Sam Levine is on assignment. Neither of those guys are those things. I just like saying that. I think that's just a fun broadcasting thing to say all the time. West Palm Beach Improv, I love you. Fun show Tuesday night. Graham Elwood chose a dude named Jeremy with a Ghostbusters themed name tag, and Jeremy picked In Theaters Now for his category in the Leonard Maltin game, and the clues were joyful and simplicity is the key to the film's success. And then Jeremy said four names, and Graham said name it like a fool, because the four names were Emily Blunt, Sarah Silverman, Zach Galifianakis, and Alan Arkin. Who doesn't know the answer at this point? It's the Muppets. So Jeremy won a bunch of prizes. And I love Florida, South Florida, so much that I'll be back on January 18th at the Improv in Miami. Be sure to check out the fake Santa Size Me trailers on YouTube. Type in Santa Size Me in the search engine and tweet me which ones are your faves. Impartial judges only. No friends of the filmmakers, please. This isn't a bomb Doug's replies with the same message over and over again contest. This is a which one does Doug like the best contest. And I don't want to make sure I don't overlook any entries. So be sure to let me know that you submitted one. And thank you to everyone who submitted a trailer. There were, ended up being maybe 50 of them. That might be an exaggeration, but 40-ish. The winner will be announced on the 12 Guests of Christmas episode plopping next week. Now it's time for Watch This, Not That. The number one movie in the country is New Year's Eve. I haven't seen it. The number two movie is The Sitter. Haven't seen it. So watch The Sitter, not New Year's Eve. This has been Watch This, Not That. I say The Sitter looks more compelling just based on what I know about it. And it's the last chance to see Fat Jonah Hill, which is fun to celebrate that he lost all that weight. I'm doing everything I can to bring Doug Loves Movies to you. Upcoming road editions of Doug Loves Movies are happening in Burbank at Flappers on December 20th at 10 p.m. Las Vegas at the Palace Station on January 8th. Sacramento at the Punchline January 14th. The Weezer Cruise from Miami to Cozumel on January 19th to 23rd. And the Vancouver Comedy Festival February 18th. Go to DougLovesMovies.com for links to all of these various podcast tapings and stand-up shows. Can you believe all that?
It's a lot.
That I'm doing?
It's a lot.
It's ridiculous.
That Weezer Cruise is going to be
a lot of fun.
Oh, that's the sickest thing. Dinosaur Jr., Gene Ween.
Do you think that Dinosaur Jr. is upset that they don't have their Sebado. Own cruise?
I don't know. I think, you know, could be a stepping stone to their own cruise. Like, you know, but still such a fun gig to go and do.
What is the audience of the Weezer cruise?
I don't know. I haven't done it yet. I did. You know,
what do you think it is going to be? I mean, like, because
I'm thinking families, maybe. I'm thinking really? People
like
that
indie rock families.
Well, people that were, you know, going out and listening to bands and buying CDs and stuff when Weezer broke,
right? Yeah,
like the Blue Album right. and Pinkerton.
That's like 91, 93. Like,
I mean, I know so many people my age and a little bit younger that Pinkerton is still like their favorite.
Pinkerton's a
thing
great album.
Ever. It is amazing.
I was so bummed when I couldn't see their show where they were performing all of Pinkerton here in LA. They perform on like Thanksgiving
they do
weekend.
They do them back to back nights sometimes where they do the Blue Album one night, and Pinkerton the next. And I was in New York when they were there, and I could only go on the Blue Album night. Still went, had a great time, but the whole time, Pinkerton. You know, I had Pinkerton in my mind the whole time because I love that album so much. But they're going to do the same thing on the cruise. They're going to play both albums, and they're going to do, as the cruise sets off into the sunset the first day, they play a show on the top of the ship, and everyone just crowds around on the deck of the ship. People sitting in the jacuzzis and stuff.
Have they done this before?
I only know all this because I was on the 311 cruise. With that band
Amazing.
And tons of other bands.
Okay.
And that crowd, turns out, they have a very young following.
Right.
Like, that crowd was just a bunch of young potheads and very
Did you have a good time?
So had, very nice people.
I was going to say, so you had nothing in common with them.
Nothing at all. Well, yeah. It was a fantastic time. So that's part of why.
Okay.
So then when Weezer comes along, a band that I really like 311 a lot.
Yeah.
But like going on the cruise and then going to some of their shows recently have given me, you know, newfound love and respect for them. I've always liked them, but like Weezer is a band that I used to follow around.
Yeah.
You know, like when they were in LA and the Blue Album hadn't come out yet, I was seeing them at shows in various, you know, places of all different sizes, many of which are closed now. But I was like a real Weezer. Like, I was the one, I kind of took a little bit of credit for their initial success in a very, very haphazard sort of way because I turned on Janine Garofalo to them, and she did an interview with, like, some magazine with a shirt on that said, I love Weezer. And,
oh, wow. Now,
she was sort of the first kind of celebrity to come out on their behalf. And
I think that's actually a very clean line. I feel like you can take credit.
I can get a little bit of, get some of that. I can take a piece of
And now
of
they're
it.
Paying you back by putting you on that cruise.
Because we went to some weird music convention where they were just handing out a lot of samples.
Uh-huh.
And I found this one sample cassette.
Yeah.
It was on a cassette.
Wow.
It was just the four songs from Weezer. It was the Sweater Song, Buddy Holly, My Name is Jonas, and one other eventual hit from that album.
That album
was a fucking hit machine.
So Rick Ocasek. I believe that Rick Ocasek was the reason for that album being so great, too. I mean, everything on there
But
was
then
so...
they did Pinkerton without him, and it was amazing.
But it was not a critical success. It's a great album, though.
Yeah, well, it was one of those, it was like... I'm
or
sure
it was a
you
critical,
guys talk about.
Commercial.
Well, I'm going to introduce you in a second.
Oh, yeah.
But like, we all love movies, and so... Well, I don't know what my point was going to be about movies.
But we should. This installment of Doug Loves Movies should be indie rock. It should be Doug Loves Indie Rock, and we should just talk about rock bands.
So far, we could. You know, I'm just excited about doing the cruise, trying to help sell the idea because you know, the economy is not the greatest time for people to go on cruises right now. But the deals are pretty good. I think it's on Groupon, maybe.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I feel like I would go on that cruise. It would be really fun. How long is it? How many days?
It's just 4 nights. It's out of Miami.
That's nothing. That's an easy cruise.
Yeah, if you take a red eye on Wednesday, you could be back home in Los Angeles by noon on Monday.
That's great. If you're in New York, there's no reason why you shouldn't be going.
Boat goes all the way to Cozumel. 2 days of just being on the boat, which is the weather will be fantastic, and there's always nonsense going on 24/7.
Are they on you if you're
drinking,
smoking?
Gambling?
Can you smoke? Like, do people get high? I bet a bunch of
it's
this.
Very much against the rules of international waters and whatnot. Yeah, so I don't do it at all.
Are you
I've
worried
also
at all
got
about
something in my eye? You
oh,
guys,
uh-oh.
And I can't,
wow.
I can't quite
because you're
see
blinking
the shake.
It. You're winking it at
you. Play?
At
do you play? Do you play casino games on the boat too?
Yeah. I love. I'll just sit at the poker table for hours, and the whole time it's like you're playing and you're moving like this.
Yeah,
like it's so it's such a weird.
The one family cruise I went on, I like went to our family room halfway through dinner, and there were two guys cleaning the room who were holding my underwear and my sister's underwear. Like, I just remember walking in. I was like 11 years old. Like, what is my, this?
I have a similar.
Wow.
I have a similar
so
cruise.
How are
memory
they holding
scar.
It?
It's like just holding. Like,
tiny child girls underwear.
Like,
but like, were they folding or just holding?
Well,
or
there would be no reason to
not
fold
up to their cheek
underwear,
or anything.
They're
picking
nose.
Them up off the floor, maybe.
No,
did you leave them on the floor?
The
no, they were in the drawer.
Ooh. My terrible scar from a cruise was, I didn't know that my father's friend was wearing a toupee. I never knew that. I was bad at recognizing that sort of thing. And we came home late one night. And, you know, the father was mad. He popped out of bed without a toupee on, totally bald, like Mr. Clean. He's like, what the hell are you guys doing? It's 4 a.m. And I freaked out because to see someone without hair after seeing them with hair for years, I was like, who the fuck is that? I ran backwards into the door to escape like a Scooby-Doo moment because I thought it was like a weird stranger. And as he was yelling at us, he grabbed his toupee, which was like thrown on the floor like a baseball hat or a pair of socks, and he just picked it up and threw it on his head, and he was like, get up to bed. But
wow.
That is the memory
I
always
have. He
needed
his hair for that last moment.
But Mr. Clean,
and then you walked
us.
In the next day, and there were two gentlemen in there
and
in the room, and they were holding his
toupee.
Hair. They were totally fondling his hair. My guests today are the whole gang from Earwolf's very popular How Did This Get Made podcast, which I will finally be appearing
yes,
on.
Very excited.
Very excited. I'm going to be on it soon, if not already. And my guests from that show are Paul Scheer, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Mantzoukas.
Hi, Doug.
Mantzoukas.
Hello, Doug.
Yay!
Yeah.
So we've already been all talking. This is super fun already. But let me ask you guys about your podcast, because each episode is dedicated to a different film.
Yes.
That you
either ask.
You don't necessarily all go watch it together. You just all sort of have the homework of having to see
the
it.
Only one sometimes we've seen all together, I think, is Sucker Punch.
Yeah, which was an amazing experience with Chelsea Peretti.
Yeah.
That movie is awesome. Have you seen Sucker Punch?
Oh, and your guest also.
Yes.
All four of you went, because every
we
week
went.
Is the three
I
of
think
you
we saw
and
Wicker
then a guest,
Man
or
together,
every time.
Too. We saw Wicker Man together. With
oh,
the,
yeah.
That
yeah,
was
yeah,
at somebody's yeah. home
yes.
entertainment
and
center.
And then also Old Dogs. The Old Dogs,
oh
the best, worst movie of all time. Because our show can kind of go two ways. Like, how did this get made? It's so terrible. Or how did this get made? Because it's fucking crazy. Like Fast Five or Crank 2. Like, those are in the good side category. And then there's
yeah,
like then
yeah.
there's the bad ones.
Where you have fun talking about movies where logic is swept aside.
Exactly.
To varying degrees of success.
Yeah, like Nicholas.
Because you can have a Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a Fast Five. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they end up getting an absolutely mixed, totally opposite reaction.
Yeah.
Even though they're both ridiculous.
But one is
one
like,
works and one doesn't work.
Yeah.
And Fast Five, I still say, was one of my favorite experiences at
great.
The movies. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's so I want to
see,
more.
But I the first time I saw it, I was sitting with a buddy at a matinee and not too many people in the theater, and it was really slow to me. I was like, this is like one of the new classics. This is something that if it's on the TV while I'm doing something,
yeah.
I could you'll really enjoy this.
Yeah.
But you know, like or while I'm on a treadmill or something. But the fact that I'm in a theater and I could there's so many
when
other things
empty.
I could be doing. And it's empty, yeah, there's no excitement. But then I saw it again on my show that I do here in town from time to time where we sit in the front row with microphones.
Which
We've
is
done
so much fun.
A couple movies with you. Well,
I did,
movie interruption, we call it.
I did it without you there one time. And did anyone ever tell you this? I had to run the Doug Benson movie game while you were not there because people were expecting it.
So you had to actually play it.
We did play it. I roughly put it together with IMDb. And we were able to award some prizes.
That's awesome. I love that you guys stepped up because my flight was – I got screwed up with the travel thing.
But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
interrupt. And what – you showed Fright
Night. Which if you've never seen, go see Fright Night.
The remake?
No,
the first one.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's great.
You really had a good time.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Dandridge.
But don't you think, though, that was my point about Fast Five, is it's just so much more fun to be sitting with some other comedians with an audience that's down with it.
100%.
And making fun of the movie while the boring parts are happening.
I saw Fast Five on the midnight screening when it first came out, and the entire audience was cheering before the credits even rolled. And it was like half of it was not because it was like, this is going to be awesome. It's like, we're in for a crazy shit fest. Let's go. And everyone was,
yeah.
And it was like, that made the whole difference. Like cheering at lines, high-fiving. It's great.
Yeah. That's what those things kind of need. And I'm like a lot of people. I think I'm not compelled to try to go to the movie theaters when I know there's going to be a crowd.
Yeah. No.
I like seeing movies at random times.
I'm the opposite. I really want there to be a crowd. I want, like, that reaction I find so...
So you only go, like, on the weekends? Friday, Saturday night?
Well, yes. Or I'll go, like, to nighttime screenings during the week. Like, because usually, you know, here in the city, like, those are still pretty well populated. But, like, I just saw Twilight, because we're doing Twilight. Spoiler alert. Alone. Literally, completely alone, and was miserable because I kept wanting to turn to people and be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
That's a candidate for me to show at Cinefamily because it's got we'll get into this
on your show, but it's a
series of chasms.
Yeah.
It's just miraculous that anyone is paying attention.
I loved every second of it. We'll talk about it later, you guys.
I can't wait to talk about it.
Cannot wait.
But
I love seeing movies. I feel uncomfortable going to see a movie alone when it's a packed theater.
Oh, that's
like, I feel like a weird person. Like, I just feel I'm weird. And I enjoy seeing them alone in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
You can slip into a good seat, though, if you're that loner at a crowded screening.
Yeah, single seat.
Like, I do that at film festivals, you know. I get in and get a good seat
because I love that by
myself.
I like seeing comedies in a packed theater. And then the other ones are, you know, because I feel like then sometimes you'll see a comedy if it's alone. It's not as funny for whatever reason.
Oh, I think that's completely true.
I want to see The Artist with a packed house.
I heard that's amazing.
You know what
I
mean?
I have a screener of it, but I haven't watched it.
I actually don't think you should watch it.
You got to see it in the theater.
I want to watch it in the theater with people, exactly.
The person I talked to today said it's amazing because the first couple of moments of The Artist, you hear everybody eating their popcorn, and then everyone slowly realizes, like, oh, we can't talk because there's no sound. And then everyone slowly stops eating and it's all just staring because it's like, it's a silent film. It's really cool.
I asked somebody because I also saw Twilight this morning at 10:55 a.m. Like, got out of my pajamas and like walked into Twilight. And there was a woman texting in front of me and I had to ask her to turn off her phone.
Wait, was it that crowded?
No, there was like four other people, but it's so... It illuminates the room, and she was holding it so far up. And I know she felt like there's only a few of us here.
Right.
This is okay.
Yeah.
That's a sucky attitude. I hate if I'm alone and a group of three people come in.
And they start talking.
Treat it like it's their private screening.
But
there's one other person there.
No, I don't like that at all. Don't like that at all. I'm not a fan.
Jerks.
Although I did yesterday when I was watching Twilight, I wanted to take a picture of Taylor Lautner's expression. I say expression because he only has one. And I did take a picture of it and I forgot to take off my flash. So in the middle of the movie, this flash came out of my phone. I felt pretty bad about that.
Yeah, it's a good thing he physically turns into a wolf, because if he had to act like a wolf, he'd be in trouble.
Yeah, it's pretty... CGI really came in handy for him.
Yeah, there's no transition between him and wolf. It's just him and then wolf.
Save it for HD TGM.
You know what was a great movie to see in the theater, by the way? I've been talking about... There's a great movie I just saw in the theater, a couple weeks ago, was Harold and Kumar, the Christmas movie. It was really good, and I feel like no one saw it. It was like 3D. It was
the
super
stupidest
fun.
Timing to come out with people are sick and tired of 3D and paying the extra surcharge or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they put it out in mid-November.
Before Thanksgiving.
Why would they do that?
A Christmas movie.
I think they were nervous about like competition, but it was... It's so funny. It's so good, and it was
that movie
like,
would have been number one against New Year's Eve.
Yes,
if it had come out then, because all the young people would have gone. The box office for all movies was terrible last weekend because the people that spend the money on tickets are really preoccupied with Christmas right now.
Yeah,
but young people, they don't got anything to do. They're gonna go. So you put out an R-rated comedy with Jonah Hill. What's that about?
Why would anyone go to that?
And then it gets terrible reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's Adventures in Babysitting. Yeah.
I wish it wasn't a comedy.
What did you think it was?
From the poster, I thought it was like a weird
poster. Looks like kind of like Cyrus.
Type, like,
no offense.
Sorry, Cyrus. Like Cyrus type.
No offense.
No offense to people named Cyrus. Yeah.
Cyrus, I'm so sorry.
Is it spelled the same as the movie, Cyrus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how I wrote it down. When you said your name was Cyrus, I wrote down
C-Y-R-U-S,
spell it that same way. Yeah, but it could be like...
How else would you spell it? I'm curious.
What are the other options?
Well, maybe like S-S-Y, Psy. Like,
what do you mean, how else would you spell it? It's, you know, it's a...
S-I-E-H-R-U-S.
Yeah.
Cyrus.
Yeah, I guess there really aren't a lot of ways to spell it. But I just mean that now I ask, how do you spell it, to anybody who wants me to write their name down on anything, because
you don't know
all the wacky spellings that have injected.
I guess I do that too with people.
Yeah, people love to have a crazy spelling, or like, you know, even like a Brian with a Y, you know, you gotta ask
those
first.
People are trying too hard.
Ryan with an I would be bad. Did you guys catch the Golden Globe nominations today? They came out today.
I saw that there were some weird choices.
Hot topic.
There. Like Matt LeBlanc got a nomination over...
For episodes?
Episodes, yeah.
I hear he's great on that, though.
I hear he's great, but I mean...
I haven't heard of one person I know who's like referenced the show episodes. I don't know anybody who's seen it.
I heard
it's
good.
I watched one, and I just didn't get it, but I've not gotten a lot of things that have turned out to be great.
Is it a comedy? I'm going to ask this about everything.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's kind of...
Like a British kind
I don't
of
know.
Comedy.
It's based on a British show.
Yeah, and it's hard not to compare it to other things that are... Like Matt LeBlanc's very low key in it. It's just like, I think he gets a lot of kudos just for
not being Joey.
Being decent at being not being Joey, but also being like a fictionalized version of himself that's not like a perfect person. But that said, I've only watched like one episode and I didn't really love it.
Well, there was a little uproar about that, and then there's also a little uproar about the fact that like Breaking Bad got like no nominations, but like it was a weird that people were upset.
There's British stuff in every category and European stuff because it's an international group of people. It's not Americans that are voting on it.
The Hollywood Foreign Press, which is apparently about 60 people.
They speak English, all of them, but there's 75 of them, and the reputation's been pretty bad in the past. But at least this year they have the tourist with Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp, which
that
you guys should have done on your show.
We did.
Yeah, because the fact that they got nominated at all, it's that whole musical comedy category, though, that kind of opens it up for, well, we'll just nominate the most famous people that were in something that could...
They
possibly be
yeah.
considered a musical or a comedy. Yeah. It was neither, that movie.
No,
it was no. It didn't fit into any genre.
It should have just been. It was trying to be a thriller,
but it didn't even do that.
No.
And that poor guy they got to direct it, the Von Hammerschmacker.
Yeah,
He made that great
the
movie.
Lives of Others.
He made that was great. Well, and then he just kind of got shoved into now do this Hollywood thing.
The stuntman that plays my stuntman on NTSF. He was the stuntman for like Johnny Depp. He's in the movie, and he does a bunch of stuff. And he said that director kind of was just out of his league in the sense that they took 2 days to shoot a scene with Angelina Jolie walking across a courtyard. That was it. Like he's like, there was no dialogue, there was no action.
You got to get it right.
He's like, it's not right. And he kept on like just a walk across a courtyard, 2 days, 24
Holy
hours.
Shit, that's crazy.
Maybe there was just walking. Maybe there's just a language barrier there. Maybe they just didn't. We weren't asking for the right thing.
I also heard from another guy who worked on that movie that the director gave Johnny Depp a note, and Johnny Depp said, "I'll do it that way, but it's not going to work." And then he did it, and like I guess like that. So I feel like everyone kind of left that movie.
Wait,
not
is that
really...
the movie that got shut down for a while because Johnny Depp was jaundiced from so much booze that he looked yellow?
Oh,
and
wow.
they had to shut it
That's
down.
That's really
and, like,
weird because I feel like his skin coloring was off in that movie.
Right? Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it
I
was
think that's
weird.
The movie they shut it down for a while to like detox him because he was jaundiced.
Turning yellow.
Wow.
His acting choice in that movie was to make no choices whatsoever.
No, it was
like
a weird
he was
movie.
Just like
weird.
It's just like this guy sort of stumbling through a leading role in a motion picture. Like it was like his first time doing it or something.
It was really
so weird,
bizarre. But I'm glad that Moneyball got in there for best drama.
They I
picked,
like Moneyball.
They picked
a lot.
Like 6 movies, which I don't get why they have to go that far, and they still left out some movies that people think should be in there, like Tree of Life, which I have not seen.
But now 50-50 is in the comedy category.
Yeah, which makes it nice that at least it got in there somehow.
Yeah.
Because that movie, That super underrated.
Either way.
Super underrated.
But it doesn't feel like, I mean, I guess like when you think
it's a comedy.
I guess it's a comedy, yeah.
Ultimately, Seth Rogen has especially one particular scene that's
really
very
funny.
Ultimately, I feel like, yeah, it would wind up in, it would stand out in the drama category.
Right,
I
you're right. Like. Maybe you're right.
It's yeah, just, in a perfect world, there wouldn't be a division between comedy and drama. And,
here we
and
go,
even,
Doug.
And
here
even
he
more,
goes.
An even more perfect world, the comedies would get the, you know, the credit they deserve.
Guys, all I'm going to say is I'm hosting the Critics' Choice Movie Awards January 12th.
Oh, God.
Live on VH1. And we're just going to give out.
They got a lot of categories.
Best action.
Yeah.
Best comedy.
Fast Five's going to win that, right?
Yeah, Fast Five is nominated. We have a lot.
I wonder if you're going to meet, like, in doing that, a lot of people that we've done movies about. That we've done, like, their movies.
Oh, I'm sure. I regret that.
That'll be interesting.
Hopefully
it's going to get ugly for you guys.
Hopefully they understand that they're not in.
Wasn't it Judd who recently said, Judd Apatow, who recently said that there should be an Oscar category for best comedy?
Yeah, there should be.
There absolutely should be. It's crazy that there isn't.
But then that's the problem, is that then once you divide them, then a great comedy that should just be regarded as a great movie.
Well, yeah, or they should just be nominated at
all. Like Bridesmaids is getting these nominations from SAG and from the Critics' Choice, and then there's another one, the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids got nominated, all of them, but that's because they all have a comedy category.
Yeah. But it's true.
But that movie's one of the five or ten best movies of the year, period.
But it's like you will never put Bridesmaids up in like in the Oscars because like that's not
even
it's
with
not,
ten,
like,
but it's so yeah, it's
even now that they've now
they
that
should,
well it's not ten anymore.
Oh, it's not
now they've got
it
a
fluctuates.
New system where it could be anywhere from 5 to 10
based on
how many votes certain movies. It sounds like another crazy thing to just try to. They just don't want to ace out that Avatar or Titanic
Dark Knight. Is what it was.
Yeah. They don't want to push out the movie that's going to get people to watch. And guess what? This year it's Bridesmaids, and it's not going to make the cut because it's such a flat out comedy.
But I feel like that's the same thing that happened with Hangover. I mean, Hangover was such a it was nominated I think the same way as Best Picture.
But Hangover, there's a mixed reaction to by
I guess you're right. Bridesmaids is pretty much.
I gotta
universal.
Say though, in Bridesmaids, there's a bunch of moments that it's such a funny movie, but there's some moments in there that aren't in Hangover or anything on the level of Bridesmaids. Like when Kristen Wiig is eating that cupcake that she makes herself.
Oh, that's a terrific.
That's a beautiful moment sequence, and beautifully acted, and you don't necessarily see that moment in a Hangover or another.
Midnight in Paris.
Sure, you
nominated?
Do.
Because
it's when you see Ken Jeong's.
Out of the trunk. Yeah. It's the same thing as making a cupcake alone.
It's that same moment of self-reflection and self-discovery.
But don't you think that also it's weird that a movie like Midnight in Paris might get nominated for Best Picture of the Year, but yet because it's Woody Allen, even though it's a flat out. I mean, it is a comedy, but Woody Allen gets this pass where his movies get nominated for Best Picture.
I think that'll be one of those things where it either gets nominated for screenplay or director and
not picture. I love that movie. That movie was great.
But that's where screenplay is the Academy's equalizer in terms of comedies
because
they can nominate 10. They have to do 5 dramas and 5 comedies. So that's where young adult they do original and
adapted.
But then that sort of breaks things down so that a critically acclaimed comedy can get. Woody Allen, most of his movies have been nominated for Best Screenplay. Not most, but 70%.
But I bet you if you added a comedy cat, 70%, check it out.
Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
Look it up.
I think was one of them.
That was not one of them. No,
thinking about the one with the guy from Deadwood. What was that? It was so lucky. Yeah, the one was about the magician.
Scoop.
Scoop, yeah.
Terrible.
Scoop was rough. Scoop was very
Woody
rough.
Woody had about 7 years that were just
Yeah, but if you look at everything he's done.
Well, that one was hot on the heels of 2 good ones in a row.
Oh, right.
Because that was right after Match Point.
Which I always say goes
to one
time
good one. One good
and then
one.
Curse
but then he
dream.
Did a second one in England that was Scoop.
Yeah.
And that didn't go over so well. You know, the rate he makes them at is
go for it.
It's one a year. Did you guys watch the American Masters PBS 2-part?
I didn't see all of it, but
holy shit. That's the best thing I've seen in months.
I gotta say, I forgot. In my mind, I've so compartmentalized. I thought Sun Yi was 18 when she moved in there. She was there, she was his child. She was 12 or 11.
Well, except that he didn't live there.
But still, she knew
she
him as her father.
She was a child.
Oh, what is this, a man and a woman having a discussion about Woody Allen and his child bride that he...
The best argument for Woody Allen and Sun Yi, if you have to watch Wild Man Blues, it's a documentary about him touring with his blues or jazz band.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like just watching them interact is so funny. He's like, you know, she doesn't know anything. She's eating out of garbage, you know. And now this is like he's just talking about her like that. But it does make her sound like you know.
Well, in the documentary, don't they talk about how Mia Farrow was on the set of Husbands and Wives when she got the phone call?
Yes, and had
saying,
to come.
Well, I thought she had to continue shooting.
She did.
So she gets the phone call that they found out. It's breaking
news. She found it. She found the pictures of nude Sun Yi in Woody's house.
I thought someone called her and told her they were there. She found them
herself.
No, she
had to go to Woody's house.
She took
and found naked
developed
Polaroids.
And then found them.
Found naked Polaroids of her daughter on his
mantle. But they were really tasteful.
So they were super tasteful.
Yeah, they were artsy. Like he was setting up some shots. For,
it was like
for
a film,
yeah,
exactly for a film.
Wow!
And right next to his,
and then
story
had to go. Then had to go and shoot like a super emotional scene with him.
That's one of those deep, crazy stories.
Well, like, I just wonder what scene that
the
was.
The whole
did they talk
situation.
About what scene?
It's in the PBS documentary. They then show that scene.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that first one.
Yeah, it's that documentary. If you guys haven't seen it, I don't know if it's still on, but it is the American Masters on Woody Allen is phenomenal.
It's got to be his life must have been so amazing because he was just so funny and smart that he instantly became a sex symbol and then just played the complete nerd to the hilt for so long.
Oh, yeah.
While still also. Every co-star was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then now that he's an
lover.
Old man, he gets old, it gets gorgeous women to just be in his movies.
Oh, they love
he's
them.
Just filming. He's spending his days filming Scarlett Johansson and telling her how smart she is.
Oh,
it's
there's
amazing.
Just, there's great stuff
he's
in
built
there.
The most amazing life for himself.
I hadn't realized his first wife is the woman in Bananas. And so,
Louise Lasser. Louise Lasser.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he leaves her for Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Diane Keaton to Mia Farrow. It's like
and
mental.
Diane Keaton's still like totally in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard her on interviews talk about him, and she just like.
She's aged very nicely and gracefully as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
and
she'd be a perfect wife for him right now.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And people would go nuts.
She would
about
make
them.
Complete sense right now.
Yeah, and they'd both be in good movies and shitty movies.
Yeah.
You know, they'd just work at their pace and.
I think that would
be happy
amazing.
Together.
Did you? I mean, the thing that I loved about Woody Allen when he did, I guess it was now almost a decade ago, but when he did stand up at the Academy Awards, like he just came out and did like.
Oh, yeah.
Three
it was right.
Minutes.
I think
amazing.
They talked him into it because of 9/11.
Yeah. And it was still like, wow, this is a guy who hasn't
done stand-up. Oh, right,
because
it was about New York.
He's like, oh, then I'm going to go on there and try to. I've never
like,
felt more raped by a.
It's the first time you ever showed up to any award ceremony, right? That was this whole thing. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, like, great to see him, but a couple of his jokes were super cornball.
But, I mean, still, for a guy who's
I was
not
happy
before,
to
yeah.
see him up there, you guys.
I love it. He brought the nation back together,
I
guys.
Was happy
he
to see him
just,
I really
just
was
happy Allen. You showed up award. Shut up.
Brought our nation together.
No, there's hardly a comedic mind or filmmaker that I appreciate more than him. So it's crazy that
McG?
That he also
what about McG?
There's yeah. well there's three total. There's Woody Allen,
yep.
there's McG.
Yeah.
And favorite McG.
And there's Gary Marshall, who used to be terrible, but now
he's hit his stride.
Now he's got his groove on and he's really making amazing movies. He made two or three great movies,
yeah,
great
yeah.
movies
back in the day and a lot of okay ones.
Sure.
But
what
now
his most recent movie?
Like,
wait, Gary Marshall created
Valentine's
Happy
Day
and,
before that.
Oh,
that. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like,
yeah,
this one's even worse than Valentine's Day by all accounts.
I mean, it seems like he just has figured out a thing. It's like it's the foolproof method. It's like I'll get every actor for one day,
mm-hmm.
and we'll shoot it, and it'll be the biggest movie of all time.
I think it tells you because Gary Marshall's obviously a very lovable sort of fellow to work with, and they probably each actor probably gets a million and shoots for a week.
Yeah,
and they get to get paired up with somebody sexy that they get to kind of flirt with all week or whatever. You know, like Ashton Kutcher and Lea Michele are in an elevator together, and that's got to be good business for both of them.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't both of those people want to be in a scene together and make out in an elevator?
I mean, to me, it's
and
like,
if it bombs, like, nobody's going down with it.
But this is like the continuation. Like
well, it's not,
the
horrible hanging on anybody.
Yeah.
It's like the horrible continuation of Cannonball Run. It's like what you loved about Cannonball Run, which was like, oh, cool, you get to see all these people that you really like, and they're being funny.
And I liked the
this
cars.
This is like, you loved all those fast
those cars.
But I mean, this is like that, but not funny. It's like, oh, I get to see all these people I kind of like. be sappy?
Well, Cannonball Run's not going to hold up to the scrutiny of today. But,
I agree, but it is at least a try.
As soon as you say, let's have 16 stars in this thing, you're already saying, and let's also take the quality down a notch.
Yeah.
Like, we can't make it an amazing thing with that many superstars that all get to step in and say, hey, I'm Bon Jovi, I'm not going to do it that way.
But I sort of understood Valentine's Day as a concept. It's like, are people really running around like needing to get something out of their New Year's Eve?
Well, especially 2 weeks before New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Like, New Year's Eve happens on a Sunday this year.
I'm trying to get through Christmas Day.
Release the movie that weekend.
They're afraid that then after that weekend, no one's going to want to see
it. It's still a new year for the rest of the month. You know what I mean? Like, people saw whatever it used to be. Now movies get out of the theater so fast. But it used to be like the big Christmas movies. That's all we had all of January.
Yeah.
So something like that came along in January to spice it up.
You'd be watching Elf all the
way. Like, release it on January 7th. You know, everyone can sit there and go, yeah, we just did that. We just celebrated that.
No,
like,
man,
people don't stop going to Christmas movies on the 26th.
People want their John Bon Jovi, all right? They want them. They want them early.
It just looks so formulaic and so, but
I read all the descriptions of, like, what everybody does. Like one person is, like, helping, like, the ball is falling, but there's a mechanical problem.
Hillary Swank is in charge of the ball drop.
No.
And there's suspense about whether or not the ball drop is going to happen.
And then they're trapped in the elevator. But what does De Niro do? Somebody said De Niro shot his scenes in an hour.
Yeah, he's dying. He's in a hospital room. And Halle Berry is his nurse.
Oh, my God.
Well, you've seen it, Doug.
I have not seen this film. That's how much I know. I could talk about movies as if I've seen them.
I feel like you just watched the HBO making of documentary.
Yeah, like the 2-minute teaser.
I didn't see Twilight. You guys, watch me work. No, I did see it.
I
can't wait to talk about it. You guys are such good guests. Like, we've practically run out of time already. This has never happened to me before. Where I'm just talking about movies for the most part.
You were talking about
except
movies.
Except for that one story we're going to have to cut.
Oh, yeah.
And no, just kidding.
Panties on the cruise line?
No, I loved it all. Oh, that was a good one, too. No, it's all been great. But do you guys want to try to get in a really quick Leonard Maltin
game?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Sure.
It has to go really fast. Now, Jason and June, you've never been on before, and I don't blame you if you haven't listened to the show, but do you have an idea of how this game works?
We have to decide.
It's been described to me.
Okay. See, now that's the thing. The listeners, see, it's been described to him,
yes.
But it's still not, it's not always easy to catch on.
Basically, it's name that tune with movies, and you have to select how many actors you can, if you get the names of the actors, what movie they're in. I mean, it's self-explanatory. Okay. We'll figure it out.
We'll start with you, Paul.
All right, great.
That way, that'll really help them to understand what's happening as it's happening. You get to pick a category. Really quickly, let's see who you guys want to play for. I got some Twitter names from the audience. Paul, would you like to play for a gentleman or a lady named at Shane Adams, or would you prefer to play for K-Goog, K-G-O-O-G?
I like Shane Adams.
All right, Shane Adams is who Paul is going to play for. And then June, would you like to play for B-Lange, B-L-A-N-J, or Johnny Unusual?
Johnny Unusual.
Yeah.
I thought you might pick that. Sorry, B-Lange. That was an unfair matchup. That's an unfair matchup. And Jason, would you like to play for Snap the Jap or I Hate Your Favorite Movie?
Snap the Jap, by the way, has donated to our show.
Okay, then I will play for Snap
the Jap. Oh, nice. I like that name, though.
Sean Sacame.
Abbreviated. It's I Hate Your Fave Move, but I still like that somebody said I Hate Your Favorite Movie as their Twitter name.
I like that too.
Because it's really.
Maybe it's needlessly
confrontational. I Hate Your Favorite Movie. That'd be a fun game. Like, you just name the greatest movie you could think of, and then you just have to think of a reason why it's terrible.
That would be great.
Annie that's Hall.
That's a good debate team.
Too many dumb hats.
That would be a good
hat.
That movie has too many scenes.
Okay.
It does, right? It probably has more scenes than almost any other 90-minute movie.
It's definitely a big movie.
Too much Tony Robbins.
I don't like scenes with tennis.
Max. Okay, right. So...
category.
Now we have who you're playing for. Paul's playing for Shane Adams. June's playing for Johnny Unusual. And Jason's playing for our good friend Snap the Jap, who one time was a guest on my show
because he
bid on it.
CDR Christmas.
So he's very, very involved. But I don't know about that name, Snap the Jap. I don't approve of that.
Yeah.
All right, offensive. Paul, you get to pick category.
Is it bad that I assumed it was a woman and Jap was Jewish American princess?
Oh. That's probably what that's probably what Sean means.
FYI, guys.
That's probably what he was going for. At Fourth Ninja suggested this one, Paul. Okay. It's a Ponderful Life. That's okay. Movies that have a pun in the title.
Okay.
So that's fun around the holidays. IFC's most underrated comedies. They did a list on IFC of the 10 most underrated comedies, according to them, of all time. So one of them might be the answer. And then at Unavailable Name suggested Beta Carotene, which is movies starring any of the Carradine acting dynasty.
Whoa,
David, John, Robert, Martha Plimpton.
No, I'm going to take pun for pun for the holidays.
Or, it's a Ponderful Life.
Ponderful Life, okay.
It's a Ponderful Life. All right. This category, I mean, this movie tough. In this category. I don't know, we'll see. This movie's from 2004. 3 stars from Leonard Maltin. It's an engaging comedy, and he says that it was co-written by the director and the leading actor.
Okay.
2004, 3 stars, says a pun in the title, engaging comedy, is directed, written by the director along with the leading actor. And there are 8 names listed, I think, or 9? 9 names. Nine names total. How many names do you get?
I'm going to just start it around. And I'm going to say I can name that in 6 names.
6 names. So then we come to Jason, and you can either bid less names. This is reading from the bottom, the more obscure names up to the top. So we've already eliminated the top 3 actors or actresses.
So you start from the least known.
Yes. And so you could get 6 of that. You'd have to bid 5 of them or less. Okay. Or you can say to Paul, name that movie.
Okay, I will
you
bid 5.
You don't get penalized for losing either way, but you only get a point if you successfully name a movie or fail to name a movie when challenged.
Okay, I will
that
bid 5 names.
That person gets a point. All right, so we come to June.
So how many names are left?
So
5 names.
There's out of 9. Wait, you bid 5?
No, I bid 6. He said 5.
Okay, you bid 5. So now you can go down to 4, 3, 2, 1, or 0 if you think you know the name of the movie.
But if you can do it in 1 actor, you're talking about the 9th actor listed, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. You're just basically going Robert Loggia.
Yes.
Is what's happening.
It could be that.
He's in 90% of
it could
American
be that
movies.
Person. Yeah. I don't know how many movies Robert Loggia's 9th billed in.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. It's probably going to be somebody even more obscure than
Robert. Yeah, that's true.
But you never know because sometimes there's celebrity cameos that get lower billing.
So wait, I'm sorry. So Paul's saying he's
going to. No, I'm done.
Don't worry
I'm
about
out
Paul. It's
I'm
just
out.
Between you and Jason now.
So now can
you can either say
movie?
Name it if you don't think he can name it after hearing me tell him the 4 names, 5 names. He gets 5 names.
Or what's my other
Or your other option is to bid lower and say you can name it with only having heard 4 names or 3 or 2. But if you don't think you have a clue based on anything you've heard so far.
2004.
And knowing that the names are going to be fairly obscure.
An engaging comedy.
Written by the lead actor and director.
I would, if I were like a cheating kind of host.
2004. I think I kind of know what it is.
Then you should
Bid low enough to so that Paul will be forced to ask you to name it.
Yeah. So if you say 4 movies, then you can guess it, and you'll hear 4 names.
4 names. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll say 4.
Okay. She
I'll
says
say name
4.
That movie.
He says name it. All right.
2004. Right. Engaging comedy.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. 3 stars from Leonard, and it was written by the director along with the leading actor, whose name you will not hear because that person's the leading actor. And the 4 names you get to hear are Rafe Spall, Jessica Stevenson, Penelope Wilton, and Bill Nighy.
See, I think I know what it is, but
I don't know. I thought it was something else.
I mean, I want.
What happens now? Can I say?
No, you
name that movie.
Do you get
just
to talk it out at all?
No,
I mean,
it's a British movie.
Is it Love Actually? I mean, but is it Love Actually?
Is it Love Actually?
No, is that a pun, really?
No, it's not. That's why I was like, it doesn't feel like it's a pun.
No, it's, I'll tell you the rest of the names, see if you guys can dive in. Dylan.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Wait, can
is
we go to 5 names and see if
I
can get it?
Paul gets the point.
Okay,
if we go to 5 names, see if I get it, and then 6 names and see if Paul can get it.
Here.
Can I ask
you
one question
changer.
Or no?
Yeah. What?
Can I
you
ask
can,
a
sure.
Okay. Well, it's over. It's done.
Yeah, but you can ask for fun.
No.
Is it a fun question?
Go on.
What's your question?
Is it a wedding-related movie?
No.
All right.
But that's a good guess. Dylan Moran, Nick Frost, Lucy Davis, Kate Ashfield, and the lead actor referred to is Simon Pegg.
Oh. Wow. I know it's one. It's that stupid running one, right?
Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Shaun of the Dead.
What? Oh, that's Shaun of the Dead.
2004, Shaun of the Dead.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Pun in the title.
Wow.
Yeah, see?
How amazing is it that it's
ugly
Shaun
game.
Of the Dead?
I know.
It's an ugly,
June
ugly
refuses
game.
To watch Shaun of the Dead. I've tried to show it to
her. Oh, it's so much fun. Do you not like any zombie things?
No, it's just become a thing. Like, every time we go to watch a movie, Paul, the first suggestion is Shaun of the Dead, and it's, I just shoot it down now for the point
really
of it.
It's really fun.
And she's watched,
I know it's good.
And she's watched 5 minutes of Die Hard so far, and you really
Oh, my
that.
God. I just watched Die Hard in the theater, and it's it was great.
That movie's so great.
So good.
I was loving it. I loved
Christmas
every second
movie.
Of it.
That and Lethal Weapon 1, really good Christmas movies.
Oh, great.
I was talking about Christmas movies on Graham Elwood's podcast, and Die Hard never came up, and then people wrote to me on Twitter, why didn't you mention Die Hard?
I
was like, now that you mentioned it, I agree. That is the best Christmas movie.
Really did great. The Family Stone come up?
No, it didn't.
Love that movie.
I actually like that movie.
It's a good Christmas movie.
It
seems sad. What is the Family Stone? What is the actual stone?
I can't believe you've never
I've
seen
never
the
seen
family.
Stone is the name of the family.
Yes.
Their last name is Stone.
Okay.
And it's really white people's problems kind of movie. Yes.
But is that the movie where
she's
like
working
the
too hard?
Where the character is based on Mrs. Robinson? Is that movie?
No, that was rumor has
so.
It.
Oh, rumor
That's
has it.
That's the
okay.
most awful thing ever.
That's the craziest.
Family Stone. Stone's all right. Family Stone's Sarah Jessica Parker and Luke Wilson
and Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, yeah.
And the girl from Twilight.
And the aforementioned Diane Keaton and Craig T. Nelson.
Oh. The one movie that I wanted to do for our podcast for Christmas, but we didn't do it, was Surviving Christmas with James Gandolfini and Ben Affleck before he was changed.
I gotta say, Mixed Nuts is one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Oh, that's a crazy one.
Yeah. I love that
movie.
That's
one of those big cast movies.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I love that movie.
Adam Sandler.
John Stewart.
Oh, wow.
Rita Wilson.
In a scene at the beginning with Parker Posey. Yeah, crazy. Okay, so since Paul
got
a point, and so now we start with you, Jason. Then we go in the direction of Paul this time. We have switched directions.
Do I get to choose
the
category
again? I give you new categories.
Great.
Yeah, you get to pick between the following. Would you like in theaters now? That's movies that are playing in theaters now.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend King of Pancakes suggested the number one movie blank years ago. And in this case, it's 6 years ago. So it'd be the number one movie in the country 6 years ago to this very day.
Okay.
Or this is to help promote my appearance on the Weezer Cruise. Weezer on the soundtrack. That's a motion picture that has a Weezer song on the soundtrack.
I'm going to go for In Theaters Now.
I don't think it's
ever
been chosen that category. In Theaters Now. Okay.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. This is in a theater now.
Okay.
Leonard doesn't give stars to the current movies. He just writes an extra long review on his app. So I'll just read you a couple of things from the review, hopefully, that don't. You guys will probably figure this out as we go, but the clues are meant to not help. They're meant to be.
I obviously did not figure that
somewhat
out.
Somewhat substantial, but also they end up being misleading. It plays games with your head when you think too hard about the clues. Man, it's a hard one to pick stuff out. It's all very okay.
What about a genre?
No. Okay, I'm not crazy about the advertising for this movie, Leonard Maltin says in his review.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and he also says about this movie that it gives you plenty of food for thought. So he's not crazy about the advertising, and there's plenty of food for thought, and there are 10 names listed. How many names do you think you can get it in? Jason Mantzoukas.
In theaters
How did this
now.
Get made? Yes.
In theaters
it's
now.
Playing in.
He's not
hopefully
crazy
a thousand
about,
or more theaters, but
he's not crazy about the advertising. There's 10 names listed.
Mm-hmm.
A thousand or more.
He
theaters.
Says five.
Five names.
So now we go to Paul.
Four.
Four. June, what do you think?
I say name that movie.
All right, now if Paul successfully
now,
names the
go
movie,
to three, right?
No, it's too late. It's this
Got
ship
it.
Has sailed.
Got it. Okay.
It's very strategic.
Yes.
Paul, if Paul gets this correct, he will win the entire game.
I want to keep playing this game. I'm enjoying it.
This is a good game.
Well, we'll have you on again for sure. And then and we'll start the game sooner.
Yes.
We just talked for too long.
Here we go.
How many names do you get?
Four.
Okay.
Four names. All right.
Do you want the clues again?
No. Give me the names.
You got it.
Calm down.
Give me the names.
I'm pretty confident in Paul on this one.
You are?
Yeah, yeah.
When you said 1,000 theaters or more, I thought maybe it was. Okay, go on.
It could be less than the thousands, but I am not sure exactly the theater count, but it's a big release. Michael Stolberg, Helen McCrory, Christopher Lee, and Jude Law.
Oh.
Damn it.
Wait a second.
Now, what? Oh, he's puzzled.
Wait, I'm puzzled.
You might pull this one out, June.
Wait a second.
He might not figure it out.
I definitely should know it. Jude Law, what is he in right now? Oh, it's killing me because I'm going to be so mad at myself for not getting this. Oh, this always trips me up. He's not crazy about the advertising. Jude Law. Damn it. I know it, and I don't know it off the top of my head.
Is Jude Law in more than one movie right now?
He's got Sherlock Holmes coming out, A Game of Shadows or whatever it's called. But I think he's only in one other movie, this one. And what's freaky to me about him being in this movie is this movie reminds me of AI, and he was in AI.
Oh.
So that's an interesting connection. And then the rest of the names are Emily Mortimer, Ray Winstone, Sacha Baron Cohen, Ben Kingsley.
Oh, I got it now.
Chloe Moretz. So maybe she's just going by Chloe Moretz now.
Hugo. I did not realize he was in that Hugo movie.
Hugo, yeah. Doesn't Hugo seem like AI a little bit?
Yeah, it does. It does. I can't believe I lost it.
So Paul's not getting a point.
No, I don't get a point.
No,
you
get the point, June. Yay!
Yes!
I wouldn't have got that. I'm happy that I didn't get that. But
Jason needs to catch up.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, here we go.
All right, so your dream came true. We do get to play some more.
Woohoo!
And so let's see.
I didn't see Hugo. I hear it's like the best movie of the year.
I've heard great things about it. I got tons of nominations from. But the thing I want.
But I agree, the advertising was horrible.
Horrible.
It made
horrible.
It look terrible.
I think it's a hard. It's one of those hard sell kind of movies because, like, the basic idea of the movie is it's just about the joy of movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's sort of hard to sell to people in a TV spot. And then the 3D is supposed to be gorgeous, but.
Everyone
says
they're the best 3D, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm going to see it soon, I guess. All right. You get to pick a category again, Jason, and then we'll go to June from you.
Okay. What
next.
Do we got?
Would you like Obama? That's movies that have a black president in the movie. Or Juggling Geese suggested Pussy Galore, which is a film with lots of cats in it. Or at least about a cat. And then Four Letters. That's a movie where the entire title is four letters. An example, of course, being MASH.
Four letters.
Okay.
Ooh.
This four-letter word that's a movie is from 2010. Leonard Maltin says that it's only worth 2 stars. He says that the main character is tough and that the action scenes make this mindless fun. He only gave it 2 stars, but it's mindless fun.
Okay.
And the main character is tough. And there
it's a four-letter title.
There's eight names listed.
Okay, I can
so
do
how
it.
Many?
In three.
Four-letter word. Okay, we go to June.
Oh, four-letter word. Okay, so it's not an acronym.
No.
Okay.
Not an acronym like MASH. A four-letter word like...
Got like MASH, but okay. But I understand why.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. You know, like Snatch, if it had two less letters.
Two.
Ooh.
Two, she says.
Name that movie.
All right.
So 2010.
You get two names. It's from 2010. Four letters in the title. Your two names are Hunt Block and Daniel Pierce. So that's no help. So what four-letter title do you think happened in 2010 with a tough lead character that had action scenes that make for mindless fun?
Oh, I think I do know
this. I think I feel like I can guess.
2010. Is that Hannah?
No, that's too many letters.
You're thinking of Han. When was Hannah? Hannah must have
been this year. It was this year, actually. It was this year, and it was not four letters.
But other than that, it's a great guess. That character of Hannah is tough. tough to say her first name.
Saroyans.
All right, so.
I got nothing.
We got to call it.
Four letters in 2010.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Paul.
No, that was also this. Oh, was it
that
this year?
That was last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
It was?
Yeah.
It was this year.
Wait, Paul was
this
last
year.
Paul was last year because
Paul was this year. I saw it at South by Southwest and Comic Con of this year.
Oh, I thought it Paul. Was the Bridesmaids this year at South by.
Yeah,
they
showed them both. Yeah. And Attack the Block.
Attack the Block is great.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so the rest of the names are August Diehl, Andre Brower, Daniel Chiwetel Ejiofor. How do you pronounce that guy?
Chiwetel.
Yeah. Chiwetel.
Yeah.
Lev Schreiber.
Takers or whatever.
And Angelina Jolie
as Salt.
Bastards.
Damn it.
Well, I won.
Yes. So
way to go.
Paul is our winner.
Wait, how did Paul win?
Because June.
Oh, because he told June to name the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here's the fun thing that happens when we play for people on Twitter or when we play for people in the audience, because I'd love to have you guys on a show in front of an audience. Paul's done that before.
So much fun.
The two losing people, the winner gets a prize package of some sort, so I'll try to get in touch with Shane Adams and give him some sort of prize. And then, but the other two people get to name, and they've already told me who they want me to name. They get to name somebody for me to call a shithead as the closing line of the show. Before we go,
you know what, Doug? I have something in my bag. I'm going to give this winner, which is a limited edition NTSF badge.
Oh, my God.
So that's they can have that.
That's fantastic.
There you go.
I don't think
he probably doesn't live anywhere around
here, so I'm just going to go home and put this on a stack of stuff in my home that people have handed to me in similar fashion.
There you go.
And hopefully get it to him someday.
someday it will get to him.
And more episodes coming soon?
Yes, in the summer.
Nice. What's the way to say it quickly?
NTSF SDSUV.
You really created a nightmare for yourself.
Oh, I love it.
Having to say that all the time. And Jason still appearing on The League.
Yep.
A couple episodes left.
League is finishing up in the next couple weeks.
Hilarious on Parks and Rec recently.
Oh, thank you.
I got to hear. I saw that.
Such a funny scene.
Yeah, it was a great scene.
Great scene. You're hilarious.
Adam
in it.
Scott. Very
Are you
hilarious.
Just getting you've always worked as an actor, but do you think the crazy beard's really
bizarrely
taking it to another level?
The crazy beard is getting me tons of work.
It's a great look. Wow. It's a very, very good bizarre. Look. Yeah, yeah.
Jason's in that new Sacha Baron Cohen movie.
He's in Dictator.
Yeah.
Which is more like it's scripted.
Yeah, it's a straight
feels
movie.
Sort of like Bruno still because he's such a crazy character.
He's a crazy character, but there is nothing in the real world. It is just a straight narrative fiction.
Yeah, know? Yeah. I saw the trailer and had a couple super good laughs. And
yeah.
I remember the last moment of the trailer being really funny, which is like hard to come by these days. Like an actual solid laugh at the end of a trailer.
Totally.
The end of the trailer for Sherlock Holmes is like, I'm on vacation! I'm on my honeymoon. Oh, okay. That's an awesome punchline.
Yeah.
I wonder if that character's on his honeymoon when this happens.
Just exposition.
Yeah, yeah. And then both of you guys, June and Paul, you're both involved in when's Ass Backwards coming out?
Oh.
What's the story with that? Because I went on IMDb.
Oh, we have a couple days of shooting left on that. So
hopefully
we're going to finish it this year, and then it's independent, so we'll have to...
Film festivals and whatnot.
Go through all that, yeah.
You have an amazing cast.
That's fun.
Yes.
Yeah, both of you guys are in it, and I saw a bunch of cool people.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And Casey Wilson are the leads, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
She's so great. Love Happy Endings. Thank you guys for being on the show. Everybody listen to How Did This Get Made, which will soon feature, or maybe, I don't know.
It'll be out first. It'll be right in the beginning of the new year.
Okay, good. So this will be a nice tease because this will be out tomorrow.
Okay, great.
Yeah, this will be out tomorrow. So people look forward to a conversation that's going to happen in mere minutes.
In about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, listen, you'll get to hear it in 2.5 weeks. So, and see Twilight, the latest Twilight.
While you
can. Or catch up on all of them.
Yeah, go to town.
See the whole, all
because it only makes sense if you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Well, that's where it'll be an interesting conversation for me because I want to know some things.
Yeah, I have some questions,
because this is my first one I've paid attention to.
This is my second one I've seen.
Same.
I've seen them all, but this is the first one I paid attention to. Some have been on TV in the background in hotel rooms. Okay, so thanks also to Cyrus and to Earwolf, and as always, which one do I say first? The SAG nominations are a shithead, and
I love this one. Naven Johnson's dog in The Jerk.
Is it Shithead? Because he is Shithead.
Shithead.
That's great.
It's a good one.
It's the most creative one I've ever heard.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, because Doug loves movies.